holding still, but they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line wide open, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. That's what you do. You text me, and we'll do our best to respond. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, State Senator Chris Elliott will make time for us. And also in the 11 o'clock hour, running for United States Senate, Jared Hudson will be with us. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he is my congressman. He's also a candidate for United States Senate. Our good friend, Congressman Barry Moore, is with us. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. Well, we'll start here, and you were sort of in some ways the victim of this whole situation, but you prevailed 2 years ago when you ran for the first congressional district. But give us your reaction to, I guess, the Supreme Court ruling on the Louisiana versus Calais, and then the response to the legislature and the governor.
Yeah, so you're right, Jeff. And you're a better political historian than I am, but I think I was the first member in Alabama drawn out of his district in 100 years, I don't know, or in the history of Alabama. But it was like that happened to us because Eric Holder and those guys sued all the red states around for these minority-majority districts. And, you know, I was drawn out of my district, had to run in another, you know, I was drawn back into a different district. Let me say that. I was drawn out of the original district I was in Congress. And so, yeah, having to go through that and having to deal with that and to see it happen again, I'm glad the Supreme Court is actually allowing us to go back to communities of interest. I think it's vitally important. And I think it's also vitally important that Alabama push for a 7-0 map. It's just, it's imperative when you got states like California, you got over 50 U.S. House members and only 4 or 5 that are Republican. You got Illinois, just they're gerrymandering crazy to take power to D.C. And Alabama, if we're not aggressive in these things, we will ultimately be at the whims of California, Illinois, and the Northeast Coast, who, you know, the Northeast Coast, there's 9 states that don't have a single U.S. Republican, but their averages, if you look at the voting, it's 37% to 48% were for Trump. They have zero Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. So I'm glad the legislature moved the map. I'm encouraging to try to do a 7-0. I don't know how the timeline looks right now, but down the road, it's vitally important for us as Alabamians and red states to actually have a voice in the process based on communities of interest and quit trying to divide the country based on race.
Well, and, you know, I can't imagine what this is going to look like, these special elections, but it's going to be a free-for-all. And, you know, we're going back, I guess, to what it was, but the special election system, I mean, what do you think? The way that we're handling it, 6-1 map, that the best way to do it for now?
For now, as quick as we can. Like I said, I don't know if we've got time to do a 7-0 map. I don't know the timelines, and I don't know everything in place. But I do believe that it's vitally important that we as Republicans, like I said, fight back. I served on the Judiciary Committee, and Jamie Raskin, who's the ranking member on the Democratic side, he literally had already drafted articles of impeachment on President Trump before the last election. So they would have day one started the whole impeachment charade, shenanigans they did during President Trump's first term. So these midterms are vitally important for Republicans, and we need to make sure that we do what we can to make sure that we maintain a majority in Washington, D.C. so they don't impeach a president that the American people love and won overwhelmingly in the last election.
Well, let's kick it off here, though, with your campaign. Talk a little bit about that. You know, you're having to juggle your congressional duties and a campaign at the same time, but are you feeling good about where you're at?
Yeah, we're feeling good, and the momentum seems to be coalescing with us, and so that's good, and we've been able to get our message out across the state, and it's just a message of being a conservative and being a friend of the president, and obviously with his endorsement, that was big, but also just we're running on our record. Heritage Action about 3 or 4 weeks ago scored all 435 U.S. House members, and there were only 11 in the nation that got a perfect score, and I was one of the 11. So we're running on our record, running on being a member of House Freedom Caucus, running on how we voted and how we fought. And, you know, there are a lot of good people in races, and certainly in this race, but the thing is, you just, without the legislative experience and without a record, I see it so often. I saw it in the state when I ran there and served 2 terms, and in Montgomery and D.C. as well. people run, and then when they get in the system gets its hooks in them, and they end up not really toeing the line on conservative ideas. And so I've been able to manage that, even with the pressure applied, even with all the things going on in Washington, D.C. and in Montgomery. I've always been a dependable conservative vote. And so I think that's the thing. We're getting the message out, and people seem to be appreciating it and coming to our camp, and that's what we want to see come Tuesday.
So we know you down here. You served as our congressman for a couple of years. When it's all said and done, it will be 2 years. Obviously, your time in the Wiregrass, and then obviously you represented Montgomery and the River Region as well for 4 years. But getting around to the rest of the state, raising that name ID, tell us about how that's going.
It's going well. We're just having, like you said, it's expensive. You got to be in those media markets in Huntsville and Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Auburn, all those cities. Because pretty well south of Montgomery, Jeff, I've had about every Republican county south of Montgomery. And so they've seen me. They've seen our team serve and take care of our people. And so now as we go north, I've been very well pleased with the reception we've been getting across the state from like-minded conservatives who love the president, who love what we've done in Washington, D.C. And as we run on that record and talk about that record, people appreciate it. And so that's the thing. You just got to be able to get on there, get your message out, and try to make sure that people know who it is and make sure they're informed come Tuesday when they've got to vote.
And you had a Trump endorsement in your back pocket. Tell us, how is that really approved? Now, I think there's very tangible evidence that it has helped, because once you got the endorsement, the polls was kind of started to swing in your favor. But what's it been like seeing it on the ground?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because people, like I said, they may not know who Barry Moore is in North Alabama, but they know Donald Trump. And in Alabama, they love the president. And so his endorsement covered it just sort of went across the state media. And that allowed us, you know, to get that unpaid for media that where people just, oh, Trump's with Barry Moore. And he says he's a friend, a good friend, a fighter, and won't let you down. And so as people saw that and realized that, hey, this guy's been in the fight with the president appreciates the work that he's done in D.C. and the way I've stood with the president, I think that moved the needle so much more so than just running an ad saying what you're going to do. When you got the president of the United States saying, hey, I've seen this guy. He's been with me. He's been in the fight. I don't have to call him in the middle of the night to move the America First agenda across the finish line because he holds out for some pork project or some whatever it is, pet project, whatever it is. I don't do that to the president, because the nation is vitally more important than just one little thing that I may want. And so with a 2-vote majority, some of these guys tend to hold the president hostage, but I don't do that. I'm trying to help him get his agenda across the finish line. He's the greatest president in my lifetime, and I don't want to see that thwarted based on personal interest. As a politician, I want to make sure I'm doing what the American people and what the people of Alabama need us to do.
How close are you following what's going on in China? Speaking of the president, I would assume some of this is going to impact Alabama. If there's any sort of, economic deals or tariff or related things going on here, but how you feel about Trump's visit to China?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, they're in many ways, they're one of the nations that we compete against in for so many markets and certainly for goods and services often. And so, and of course, Taiwan being so close to China and being a major chip maker for us, as I went over to, Pacific Command and visited, we saw that proximity of Taiwan to China, and Taiwan is an ally of ours. So the president's doing what he needs to do. I think it's important that you're always at the table. You may not agree with who's across the table from you, but dialogue starts a possibility of coming to an agreement on what it is that's best for both countries. And so I think it's good that the president's there, and he took a good team of business leaders. Rubio went with him, Secretary of State. So he's got some people with him that'll, I think, hopefully, I mean, you don't know, but I think starting the dialogue, Jeff, is better than just being quiet, because that's where Charlie Kirk always talked about. It's better to talk about things, and even if you disagree, to be at the table rather than just stand off and view other people as enemies. And so I think the president, he wrote the art of the deal. He knows how to negotiate, and he comes always from a strong position. And I think it's important that we at least are having dialogue with these nations, and that we're at the table, and that they understand who we are and what we're for. And where we can find agreement and common ground, that's great. And where there's issues, then it just come to an agreement. Here's how we're going to handle those. And so hadn't followed it terribly close, but I trust the president's leadership on it.
Well, I think there's some hope here that we can get China to use its leverage with Iran and try to get the Strait of Hormuz open. How do you feel about that as it pertains to Iran?
Yeah, I think certainly China gets a lot of energy from that part of the world through the Strait. And I think 37% of their energy oil comes from that area. So they have a vested interest as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's certainly part of the negotiations, because China, I think they've worked closely with Iran in the past on drones and development technologies. And so it's vitally important that if we can get China to help us with Iran, we can bring peace to that region. And it's good to have, even like I said, you know, there's an old saying, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. But I think in this situation where China's kind of been not always friendly to the U.S., if we can get them to join us in addressing the Iran issue, then I think that'll go a long, long way in the region.
And speaking of Iran, I mean, what's your prognosis here? I assume you're following that, but what do you, you know, we hear we're close and then we're not close, and this has gone on for a while now. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I think you're right. I hear we're close, and then we're not close sometimes. And certainly, I was in the Oval Office of the President 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and he felt good about our where we were at the time. But then I think it's tough right now with the regime because they're in disarray. They don't know who's in charge. And in many ways, I think that's the problem. And they have a bit of an apocalyptic view of the world. They don't always look for peace. They're more terrorist kind of group. And so it's tough to get them. They don't negotiate with logic many times. And so obviously, I think initially with the military attacks, taking out their Navy, their defense system, disabling a lot of their drone capabilities. And then the sanctions right now with no energy flowing out, the cost per day there, the economic impact plus the military impact. I think that we're getting closer. And obviously, if China can come in and help, that would be a tremendous assistance in us getting to a position, I hope, of peace in the region. We want to see that. We just want to see that regime gone and put Iran back to the country where people can live in liberty. And I think one of the things, Jeff, that really drove the president was them massacring about 30,000-40,000 of their own citizens.
Well, and the impact that it's having on Alabama, obviously everyone is touched by the gas prices and the higher cost of oil, but there's other, I guess, elements to it. The inputs for farmers and fertilizer, just diesel for your tractor, that it's making things more expensive. I mean, do you hear from when you're on the campaign trail, or do you hear these discussions?
Yeah, I see it some on social media, too. I see it when I'm out talking to people, and then there's concerns about fuel prices. And, I'm cautiously optimistic that it's a short-term cost for us to look for long-term peace agreements that will help our kids and grandkids. So Iran's been doing this for decades now. And look, they've always been able to hold that Strait kind of as hostage. And I think in many ways, if we can, the affordability issue is a problem, but I hope it's just a bump in the road. I hope we can land a plane. And I think we've got a great team and leadership at the White House and Secretary of State, Secretary of War, obviously the President, the Vice President, all those people are working to get to a resolution. And they understand energy drives. I mean, we saw Biden, he raided the Strategic Petroleum Reserve before the last midterms, lower prices right before the election. So it's certainly forefront, not only in people in Alabama's minds, but in those of us who are up here trying to serve, we want to make sure that we get energy down. And I think long-term we will. We just don't know. Hopefully it'll happen between now and the midterms for Republicans in any way.
One more question here. We'll get you out of here. I know you got a heart out here in just a moment. But tell us, you're out on the campaign trail. Let's talk about like this. If you're elected to Senate, where do you see yourself? What are you going to try to accomplish early on? That may put you distinguish you from the other candidates.
Well, I think one thing that helps me is being in the House, you get preferential treatment on Senate committees when you transfer over. So for us, immediately, we'll be able to have more of an impact and get committee assignments that will impact the state. And so that's vitally important. And I think day one, too, the relationships we have with the White House will be impactful. But I think for us in Congress, the priorities are getting these executive orders that the president has got drafted. And they're in place, but we need to codify those, Jeff, because the next Democratic administration can come in and open the border right back up. They can come right back in and start the crazy left agenda. And so it's vitally important, I think, that we get this president's agenda. We get the America First things codified, not just in executive orders with a, that are done with a pen and a phone, as Barack Obama famously said, but we can go in and codify this. And so I see that as my mission right now is to help this president finish what the American people elected him to do, and that's shrink the size of the federal government and give more liberty back to the people within the state.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. We'll let you get back to the business of D.C., but folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Thank you, Jeff. It's BarryMoreForAlabama.com, and tell folks don't forget to vote on Tuesday.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, we do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That was Barry Moore there. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Hit us up on the text line. Also, still to come on the program, we'll have Chris Elliott, our returning champion, a day early. Some conflict on Friday. And then we'll have Jared Hudson, who's running against Barry Moore for that U.S. Senate seat. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. It's Life in Dixie with these.